in 1 hour, right at 4 o'clock, we're giving away a pair of tickets to go see the Caps at Capital One Arena. They went into last night, the best team in the Eastern Conference. They got work to do without Alex Ovechkin as they try to score goals without the Great Eight after their loss to Colorado 2-1 last night. We're at the Casual Pint in Falls Church right off Arlington Boulevard. Come on by and say hello. We got a nice crowd assembling, people that are looking forward to the Commanders and the Cowboys. We'll be breaking the game down throughout this Friday. Washington is building a foundation for success on and off the field, and you should think about your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show will help. That's the law firm of Condori and Murad.
These guys are the absolute best. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them that Grant Nanny, that's us, sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's go to the guest hotline, Danny, and welcome onto the show a very smart football gentleman who studies and analyzes the film as well as anybody with The Athletic. Ted Wynn is with us. And, Ted, I want to start with the Dallas Cowboys. They have been blown out in consecutive weeks, 34-6, 34-10. How bad are they and how bad is Washington's opponent Sunday? We're trying to figure out if this should be a blowout or if this is a game that might be tighter than we expect.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game should be a blowout. If it's tighter than it expected, then I think the Commanders have some issues that you should start getting worried about. But this Cowboys team can't stop the run, and they try to load the box to try to stop the run, and they expose their corners. They give up big plays. Dak Prescott was kind of holding this offense together, and now that he's not there, we're seeing a lot of those issues become even worse. And, yeah, this team is just, quite frankly, might be the worst team in the league right now.
Which is just a shame from a Washingtonian. Ted, I'm worried, though, about the first thing you said. If they don't blow them out, talking about from Washington's perspective, they might have some issues. I'm worried that they might. I know I'm probably getting greedy here in year one of this build, and but it's just that early season sample was so great. I'm worried that there's some regression in progress here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if we look at Cliff Kingsbury offenses historically, like when he was with the Cardinals, they've dropped off in the second half of the season. And part of that has to do with the quarterback health. Kyler Murray usually was banged up towards the end of the year. But some of that has to do with the offense's reliance on quarterback scrambles and a quarterback run game. And as we know, Jaden Daniel leads the league in scramble rate. And a big part of the run game is the quarterback option game. And we're seeing some of that take place right now with Washington. Jaden's just not very healthy, and he's not running the way he did in the beginning of the season. And some of it is the offense is a very simple offense. They use a lot of no huddle. I think as the season goes along, sometimes defenses catch up to that. They catch up to some of the simplicity. They tackle better on those bubble screens. And then, you know, maybe some of the communication with no huddle, teams catch up those sorts of things. So I think it's too early to say that typical Kingsbury regression is coming. We'll see if the offense is a little bit more evolved than it has been in the past. He kind of scoffed at that question early in this week. But I'm going to give him some grace and see how it differs in Kingsbury's second stint as a play caller.
Yeah, so go into that if you would, because that's actually been a topic here in D.C. this week. Kingsbury essentially disagreed with the narrative. He's like, I'm not really sure if that's true, that my offenses have slowed down in the second half of seasons. Why do you say that? What do you notice about the offense, quote-unquote, being simple? And give us some details on where your concerns are there.
Yeah, I tweeted this, but I posted from weeks 1-8 in from 2019 to 2022, the Cardinals in weeks 1-8 ranked top 10 in points per drive and EPA per play. And then in the second half of the season, they dropped below 20th. So it definitely is a thing. And again, some of that has to do with Kyler Murray being out because he was hurt. But, you know, the quarterback health thing is an issue with this offense that relies a lot on quarterback running. So, I mean, and there's things in the Kingsbury offense I feel like are simple tweaks that maybe he's a little stubborn on. Like, for example, not moving your receivers. As we know, Terry McLaurin lines up on one side of the field 80% of the game, and that hurt them against the Eagles because he was facing a tough matchup, and he couldn't get open against Mitchell. And you know, instead of moving him around, he just kept him over there, and he just couldn't get open. And when you can't get your best playmaker the ball, that's an issue. And those are some of the issues that I feel like he should adjust to and kind of evolve this offense.
Nobody smarter than Ted Wynn, our guest here on Grant and Danny, breaking down the film. So, Ted, I'm a rube. Kingsbury's forgotten more this morning than I know my entire life, but I noticed that. I noticed that when he was in Arizona. I noticed that here in preseason. Why does he do that? Like, there's got to be some good reason beyond, like, obstinance, right? Like, I'm unsophisticated, but I know if there's a guy that's good over there, I'm moving away from the guy that's good. You know what I mean? Like, I coach little kids. If there's a guy that's given one of my best players a problem, I try to get him on somebody else. Like, that's not crazy. Why does he do it that way?
Well, because he comes from the air raid tree, and part of the air raid philosophy is, like, we like to keep our receivers in the same place because we want them to really perfect running routes from this position and only this position. And they also run a lot of no huddle. So when you're running a lot of no huddle, yeah, and you're using tempo, you're running into the line of scrimmage, it's hard to move your guys around a lot. So that's part of it. But I think this is the NFL. Guys could handle more, you know, like, especially on a team where, you know, he's by far your best receiver. It's not even close right now. You have to find ways to create matchups. I mean, the Cowboys did a brilliant job with this last year with CeeDee Lamb. You know, he was like their only good receiver, but they found ways to get him the ball by moving him around. And that's just not what Kingsbury has done, and it doesn't seem like he's going to adjust from that. But, you know, on this team, especially with the lack of talent at wide receiver, I think it's important to just really find ways to keep getting your best player the ball.
Ted Wynn of The Athletic on Grant and Danny as we look ahead to the Cowboys and the Commanders. Before we go around the NFL, a couple of things. Let's zero in on Dallas. Where are they most susceptible defensively? Where do you think Washington has a chance to really take advantage of this group? And then if they were going to somehow have a dead cat bounce, rivalry game, season on the line kind of any given Sunday performance, how would they do it?
Yeah, I think obviously up front, they're very light and are dealing with injuries. Teams have been able to run on them all season. And Mike Zimmer has really had to adjust his defense. Like, he doesn't want to be a single high team. He doesn't want to put that eighth man in a box, but he's kind of been forced to. So he can't get into some of the pressure schemes and coverage designs he wants to. So obviously this Commanders team has been one of the best running teams all season, so they should be able to run the ball on them. And when they're loading the box and you're getting one-on-one coverage, hopefully Terry McLaurin could take advantage of that on the outside, and you could hit some of those deep balls that we saw early in the season. The second part of the question was, how can the Cowboys make this a muddy game?
Yeah, if on Monday we have you back on and we're like, whoops, we were all wrong, like, what happened?
Yeah, I think it would have to do with just crazy blitzes and really gambling on defense and creating negative plays and maybe playing some tight man coverage. I mean, it's a high variance defense because, you know, you have corners like Stephon Diggs who gambles on pick sixes. So maybe he gets a lucky one, he gets a pick six. And those types of plays are the ones that could really change the game.
Ted, my last Washington-specific one is, what have you seen from Jaden Daniels, both beginning of the season and then maybe these last few weeks, sort of post-rib situation? We still don't know what the exact injury was, by the way. Just sort of motioned to his side and said, cartilage, and everyone just had to stop asking questions about it. But what have you seen kind of pre that and then post that?
Yeah, he just doesn't seem like the same runner he was early in the season. He still leads the league in scramble rate, but he just didn't do it very much against the Philadelphia Eagles. And when you take that part away from the Commanders' offense, I think it really hurts it. And, you know, obviously Jaden played out of his mind early in the season, but we still have to remember he's a rookie quarterback. And as encouraged as we are about him, training wheels help. And having that ability to run is like training wheels in your offense. And now he's kind of forced to play the game on all Madden mode, and he's struggling a little bit. And the Eagles' defense is pretty tough, to be fair. So, you know, maybe we see him bounce back against the Cowboys' defense, which should be a little bit more simplistic because of their limitations.
One of the more intriguing matchups in the NFL this weekend is actually a Monday night game to culminate Week 12, and that's the Ravens and the Chargers. Baltimore's 7-4. L.A.'s kind of a sneaky 7-3. You've got the Harbaugh boys going head-to-head, John versus Jim. I'm wondering how you see that game playing out and also how authentic you think the Chargers are as a contender to win playoff games.
I think the Chargers are very legit because of their defense. I mean, Jesse Binter has done an amazing job with that defense. First of all, shoring up that run defense, and not just shoring it up. They're able to play run defense with light boxes, with two deep safeties, and that's something Brandon Staley dreamed of doing with that team, but he just never got it right, and now Minter's doing it. And that defense is hard to score on, and he's such a good play caller. And then offensively, Justin Herbert, he's just like unhinged now. Like, you know, early on we saw the signs, we saw the flashes, but there he always played the game with a little bit of caution. Like he played like a pocket quarterback without his physical abilities, but now he's just kind of letting go. And you see him running, and you see him making these wild throws that you haven't really seen him make, and he has the talent to do it. So I think this is a legitimate team. Offensively, they don't have great playmakers on the outside, but with the way Justin Herbert's playing, the defense is playing, they have a shot to beat anyone any week. And right now, the Ravens are great in a lot of areas, but their pass defense is among one of the worst in the league. So I think this should be a fun matchup. It's one of those matchups where you can't predict what kind of game it could go, because you could see it being a defensive game. It could be a high-scoring game. But at the end of the day, we're going to see two well-coached teams with a lot of talent.
Ted, who wins the NFC West?
Oh, that's a tough one. I still have faith in the Niners. I think the Niners can still get it together. I think Christian McCaffrey hasn't looked like the same guy since coming back, but maybe with a few more games he gets healthy. And, you know, Ricky Pearsall might take a little bit of time to get acclimated fully in his offense. But I have faith. I think they're going to get it together eventually.
Our guest studies the film, writes in The Athletic. Ted Wynn joining us on Grant and Danny previewing week number 12 in the NFL. All right, last one for you. The San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers, 4 o'clock window on Sunday. You were just referencing the West and how you see things playing out. I'm curious about the home team, Green Bay, 7-3 in a loaded NFC North. Jordan Love turns the ball over a lot. How much of that is him? How much of that is maybe the entire offensive situation? Well, where are you at on the Packers?
Yeah, the Packers have definitely not lived up to expectations or preseason expectations, because a lot of people are expecting this offense to be a top three type of offense. And they're still explosive. You still see those amazing plays, but they just haven't been very consistent. Jordan Love hasn't been accurate, and like you mentioned, he's been throwing those interceptions, and part of it is he's dealing with injuries. He's not as mobile as he should be, and those receivers are maddening to watch because they're so talented, but they drop the ball. They run routes in the wrong places, so it's a very inconsistent offense right now, but saying that, they're still I forgot what the record is, but they only have like two losses on the season, or three losses on the season.
7-3, yeah.
Yeah, 7-3. I mean, it's pretty amazing that they're 7-3 with all those inconsistencies. So I think they are a vulnerable team. But I think their defense has improved a lot, and not that they're an elite unit defensively, but they're good enough, and they're high variance, and they've been kind of lucky to win some of these very close games, including that Bears games that had to block a field goal at the end to win. So I think the Niners are a better team. But the Niners are also dealing with some injuries. Brock Purdy, questionable. Nick Bosa, questionable. Trent Williams is questionable. But I think if all those guys play, I would take the Niners in that game.
Ted, you are the best, man. Really appreciate the time. My plan is to continue to read your stuff, then casually drop the nuggets you share in conversation to sound smart. Thank you, buddy.
Have a good one.
Appreciate you, man.
Follow Ted on social media. I want to go back to the Kingsbury point that he made, though, because we've talked a lot about this. We've had different callers say, are we sure there's a real regression, right? I mean, maybe it was just that he was a head coach and it was the Cardinals in totality. Weeks 1 through 8, this is 2019 through 2022. Weeks 1 through 8, points per drive, Arizona was 6th. points per drive, weeks 8 through 17, they were 20th. Weeks 1 through 8, EPA per play. That's the metric everybody was using when we were talking about Daniels as the number one player in the league and Washington as the number one offense in the league, right? Each snap, how many points essentially is that rep worth? 0.04, 10th in the NFL, weeks 1 through 8 in Arizona from 2019 to 2022. He went from 10th to 24th in EPA per play. Now, Kyler got injured for part of that time, and that's going to set you back. But it still doesn't answer the bell on every single season, a seeming reoccurrence, and the people like him that watch the film so closely who like to say that this offense is somewhat simple. I think his run game is way more complicated now.
I do too.
They run a lot of different looks, the same run out of the varied formations and personnel groupings, 5-6 snaps in a row. Sometimes on their opening drives and their first 15 script. That's not always the case for the whole game, but he certainly, when he has the week to prepare, draws some of that stuff up. And I give him credit there. But I think in the passing game, there is possibly less of that creativity sometimes.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've seen the evidence of it here. Good defenses have answers. Now, I know they're good defenses. They have more answers than most will, but they force Washington into some uncomfortable spots. If you get, you know, a good result on first down, either, you know, a short pass is incomplete or you stuff a run, you get some third and longs, and early on in the season, that was a joke for Washington. It's not now. Guys aren't running as free as they were.
Let's predict Jaden Daniels' line next. And we should also open up the phones on this on the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you guys at 800-636-1067. What kind of day are you predicting from the kid quarterback? Do you think this will be a prolific performance? Predict Jaden Daniels' line with us. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are at Falls Church's The Casual Pint. Nice crowd today. DC sports fans hanging out. We're getting ready for football in the DMV on Sunday. A chance for Washington to get their first win in three games. This is The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We are at the Casual Pint in Falls Church. We are live all the way up to 6:30 this evening. Thanks for making the show part of your day. You don't know what I'm doing tonight, Danny.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Here we go. You're going to a high school football game.
I wish I was, but I'm not. Although, speaking of high school football, we've talked a lot about Hayfield.
Yeah.
They were up 75-0 at the half last night.
I hope everyone's happy. You guys did it!
I will say, congrats. To their credit, they didn't score in the second half, so they got that going for them.
I suppose. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know if it was nothing but delay games. And
no, I talked to some people that were there. I think they basically called off the dogs.
Wow.
Which was nice. But anyway, classic. That's not the point of the dude's story. I'm not going to a high school football
game. Okay, you're not. You are going to a restaurant.
There will be a restaurant involved at some point.
You're going to a musical.
It's not the main event.
It's
not a musical.
A play.
Nope.
A performance of some kind.
I want you to think Friday night. I want you to think Grant Paulson. I want you to think Things I Like to Do.
Oh, this is a like. Okay.
Try again.
Not being dragged. Okay.
No. This is something I'm really excited about.
A live sporting event of some kind.
It is not a live sporting event.
You're going, it's not dinner, but dinner's involved.
So, like, if someone were to say, what's Grant about? You would say sports. And then the second thing would, like, food. But what would be the third thing?
Leaving behind Chargers.
Entertainment activity.
You're going to a movie.
Thank you. I'm going to a movie. I'm
going to a movie.
What movie am I going to see tonight?
I don't even know what's out.
On opening night.
Gladiator the Deuce?
Gladiator 2. Let's do this thing together. Let's go eat some popcorn, drink some cola, and watch Gladiator 2.
Now, I've heard mixed things, and here's what I'm going to say about that.
The mixed things you've heard are it's the best movie ever and it's amazing? Is it those two things?
No, here's the mix. It's like critics are like, just doing the critic thing.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, I need you to go away for a minute. I want to hear from people that were quoting Maximus Decimus Meridius in the late 90s.
Right.
You know, that we're talking like this to each other. Like, all the time, we're like, Rome is the light. Just like, why are you talking that way? Because I saw Gladiator, bro. Right? Like, I just wanted to be part of the Felix Legion for a little while.
Here's how I'm going to do my – I haven't seen it yet, but I've already decided I love it. And here's how I've decided that I'm going to love it. Is it Gladiator?
Right.
And is Denzel Washington being added to it?
Yeah.
If those two things are both happening
– Is Denzel a bad guy in it?
I don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
We're going to find out, aren't we? At probably about 9:30 tonight.
It looks pretty sweet. Like, Coliseum.
Cannot wait.
Just battles.
There are not enough movies that come out that are awesome looking and that people are excited about in mass. It's basically Marvel movies and horror movies in the theater anymore. They've stopped,
and kids movies, yeah.
They've
pretty
stopped
much.
Making comedies.
When's the last comedy?
Good comedy? It's been a really long time.
Is it Step Brothers?
It's been a minute. Do you think that's because.
Yes.
Well, yes, what?
You know. Go ahead, say it.
Well, no. What you're getting at is another thing.
Oh, okay.
Definitely.
But again, I agree with everyone.
I agree with everyone, too. So what you're getting at is that you can't be as funny anymore because everything's offensive?
That is, what? No. Right. No.
Yeah. But the other part of it is, for whatever reason, they've just decided that there's not as much money to be made because people – what I've read is there's this philosophy that people don't want to stay home and stream movies and, like, be scared in their living room. They want to go out to a theater and have this shared experience where they're scared. So, like, the horror movie or those type of Heretic and these types of movies that came out, they're doing really, really well. But for some reason, I don't know why, I want to go out in a theater and laugh with other people. People don't mind just sitting at home and watching a comedy and laughing on their couch. So they're not doing as well in theater anymore. That's what I've heard.
That sounds good to me. I mean, I think that's a very long way of saying everyone's afraid of offending people. And comedy a lot of times has a history. I would never do this. And I agree with you, and I don't like the bad thing either. But I think comedy has a history of pushing the envelope and risking offending to get you out of your sensibilities, make you think of things a different way. So that's what I would major in. But there may also be something to the idea that, yeah, people, like, it's, to me, I'd rather be scared in the theater than scared at home. Like, scared in the theater, it's like, I'm here, everyone's around, it's fine. At home by myself, it's me and my thoughts, man. It's me and the. Was that closet door open when I started the movie? Was that shadow outside? Was that always there?
Yeah.
Has my light always not worked in that part of the house?
Like right after you watch the documentary, the true crime, you're like home alone. You're like looking around, like, I'll just make sure I locked everything up. You're just a little more cognizant and aware
about
there's crazy people everywhere.
Just about the most scared I've ever been was I watched a movie called The Exorcism of Emily Rose, right? I was at home. I lived to that point 30-some years without being plagued by demons and spirits.
Yeah.
Like, I was fine. And then all of a sudden, I was hyper-aware that evening.
That was going to
be the day. Well, 3 in the morning, if I happen to wake up, that's demonic presence.
It'd be pretty coincidental if that was the day.
But it's like, well, I just saw the movie, so I've just now been opened up to my risk factors.
Absolutely. Jaden Daniels. Has it been overstated how much he struggled, do you think? In the Eagles game, he was obviously as bad as we've seen him. But if you go back to the Steelers game, the line was not great. That was the drop of Palooza. So everyone looks at that Steelers stat line and they see 17 of 34 for 202. I don't think he was accurate as he normally is. He wasn't as sharp as he normally is. But are we sure that it's really two games of Daniels, quote unquote, not playing well? Or is it really just one? I mean, the thing the Steelers did was they didn't let him run.
Yep.
So he wasn't the Jaden Daniels you've seen all year long where he's ripping off big plays and explosives and chunks and scrambling and creating and extending. And that's why I think people filed it into the cabinet of where you put the stuff that didn't play well. But I think it was one bad game and one game where they scored 27 points. I know it was 15-yard drive and a short drive for a field goal is 10 of the 27, but I don't think it was bad. I think there's been one bad game, and it was a short week against a great defense and a great coordinator. Sorry about it, guys. That happens for a young quarterback.
Yeah, so that's the bad one. If the question is how would you categorize any other as bad, aside from week one as you're getting your feet wet in the NFL, I would not. I would say that Pittsburgh game wasn't up to snuff with some of the others. A lot of it is, yes, the defense. Great plan, great design, great execution, quite frankly, especially by that defensive line, not letting them get away. And, yes, the drops are in there, too. That's all part of the stew here. I don't think he was as sharp in that game. Now, again, that could just be nagging rib. That could be good defense. And the answer is probably yes to every part of it, right? Or, you know, maybe there was something that made him more uncomfortable in that game hit-wise. I don't know. But we're not trending in a great direction here. You go back to that Giants game as well, not terribly prolific. Rushing for barely over 4 yards a carry before 3 carries for 5 yards, 7 carries for 18. The explosiveness hasn't been there. That escape from danger, and it's either a back-breaking throw, 60-plus yards against Cleveland, or it's a major, huge gainer, leaving guys in his wake. That hasn't been there here of late.
I think he's going to run again in this game. The Cliff Kingsbury comment, and Darius, if you can find the clip and play it, I'm sorry telling you now on air, but might as well game plan this thing together live. When he talked about, when he was banged up, as if to say he's not anymore, when he was more compromised, he didn't use that word. The whole tone of Kingsbury's presser yesterday suggested that whatever Daniels was a couple of weeks ago, he's not anymore. And if it makes sense, kind of, right? Because if we're told this is an injury that's just going to take time and he's going to have to rest, and oh, by the way, they're playing every week, this is the most rest he's got.
Yeah, time has occurred, right? It's basically a month ago now.
This was Kingsbury at the presser yesterday.
I'm not going to divulge what we did while he was, I would say, more banged up, but hopefully we play better this week. I'll just say that.
Cliff Kingsbury sounds handsome, doesn't he?
Yes, that's a
He's
great
got, like,
way to put
a,
it.
That is a deep guy.
That's how you put
he
it.
He is a sexy guy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to the show. He said right there, when he was banged up, past tense.
Makes when he was more banged up. Yeah, he's better now. Yeah,
he's
makes sense.
Healthier now. So I am calling a 40-plus rushing yard game from Jaden Daniels, and he gets back to being the guy you saw earlier in the year. You there or no?
No. I don't think it's there this way. I think the plan, I think the word is out. I think teams have figured out what to
do. So you don't think it's the rib then as to why he's not running as much?
I do. I think it's both. So
but do you agree that Kingsbury's telling you the rib's better?
Yes. So I do. I think now, I think 10 days would help anybody. How much it helped didn't help Marshawn Lattimore enough to play, but it's you're better than you were before on some injury. But I think teams are basically now going to say, we know what to do. Can you counter that? And historically, Kingsbury's offenses haven't really countered it. I'm hoping this is the time where we break from history.
Okay, here's my argument to that.
Yep.
The Cowboys do know what to do. They don't have T.J. Watt.
They may not be able to do it.
They don't have the players, dude. Mm-hmm. Their defensive front is awful.
Yep.
They are undermanned. They are banged up. They are undersized. I know how to keep a guy in the pocket. I could get some of my buddies.
Can you do it?
We're not going to keep Jaden Daniels in the pocket.
You could probably do it.
You, me and these two guys right here, no offense, guys.
But a little offense.
We're
a little bit.
Yeah,
a little
he's offense, confirming. Some, we are not keeping Jaden Daniels in the pocket. I'm not sure that the Cowboys will be able to. I know that the Steelers can. I saw it. Mm-hmm. I know that the Eagles can. Two teams have been able to. Mm-hmm. The bad teams have not been able to. So that would be my counterpoint, I guess.
It's a very good counter.
And by the way, real quick, sorry to cut you off.
Sorry.
If he has another game where he does not leave the pocket and run, now I will think it's more the rib than anything else. Again, because I don't believe it. The Cowboys are going to be able to spy him and do those things with their front seven. Tag, you're in.
Okay. And I hear that. Because this is a mistake-prone team that's making mistakes every week. Talking about Dallas. They love doing it. They love self-sabotage. I guess my point is I can see that as the teams are going to, even the bad ones are going to say from here on out, we have a design, we have a plan, and even if it costs us in other areas, a.k.a. maybe Brian Robinson thumps on us, or we give up short passes to Austin Eckler, we can, carry guys for 20, 30 yards like it did last week against Philly, we're not going to let these devastating things happen. And I could see them playing that kind of zone where that linebacker doesn't drop terribly deep regardless of play action or ball fake or where receivers are going, just sort of waiting there like N'Kobe Dean did, like Patrick Queen did. Now, do they have a player of that caliber? They do not. But, Micah Parsons is lingering around. He can wreck a game if he's right. I just think it's too much of a focal point now for other teams. And your point's a very good one, by the way, that you could focus on it all you want. Like, I could focus on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball as a 45-year-old pudgy dude. I could be very focused. I can't do anything about it. It's a good point.
Why it's happening is the debate, and that's what's interesting, because there's no debating. He's not running as much. I mean, like, people are still trying to make the case that, well, it's just two games. No, it's not. The first five games of the season, Jaden Daniels ran 10 or more times, four out of those five games. He has not had one game with more than eight rushing attempts since the Cleveland Browns game. That's six straight games where he hasn't done what he did 80% of the time in the first five games. And by the way, that predates the rib injury to an extent, you know, by just the game before the Carolina contest. His low of eight carries in the first 5 weeks is his high, which he's done just twice over the last 6 weeks. So it is a night and day statistical black and white right there for you. All you've got to do is look at the numbers, tell, and now we can work back from why is it. Mm-hmm. I think it's common sense. Clearly, when you watch him, there's something where he's a little less aggressive. He's more hesitant. He's more timid to leave the pocket. I also think even if he was healthy and the Panthers game injury never happened, maybe there would have been fewer carries against Pittsburgh and Philly. And it might be both.
Logical, yeah.
Like, we might be trying to say, is it this one or that one?
The answer is yes.
And it could be both of them.
Right.
In fact, it probably is. It's Friday, which means in lieu of a double play, we're going to win off the field. Don't do it for me or Danny.
Mm-mm.
Do it for Bruce Allen.
That's right.
Bruce Allen, who helped position this team for absolutely nothing for many, many years. We honor him for counting off the field wins with our own mini moral victories next. 800-636-1067. Tell us what put a smile on your face today that nobody else would care about. We're giving away Caps tickets in 20 minutes right at 4 o'clock. We'll scout the Cowboys with one of their analysts from Dallas at 5 on the Fan. Then what happens? Ah, but of
course.
They
remain.
It's time to figure out how you're winning off the field as we welcome you back on Grant and Danny. As a reminder, somebody's going to win off the field in about 15 minutes because we're giving away tickets to see the Caps at Capital One Arena. No better sports atmosphere in the nation's capital than in Capital One Arena when the Caps are rolling like they are right now. But it is time to win off the field. These are moral victories nobody else would care about. Danny, how are you winning off the field today?
I'm going to go as quick as I can on this one. So, gentleman knocks on the door this morning. He says, I'm here to fix your fridge. We've been having issues with the water filter, right? So that makes perfect sense. We all know that I'm not a real adult in a lot of ways, and this was a great bit of evidence that that was the case. He comes in. He's going to start working on the thing, and he goes, hey, where's the shutoff valve for the water? I had to turn the water off to the fridge. It doesn't leak everywhere when I change the part. I go, I don't know. He goes, okay, well, where's the water shutoff valve to this side of the house, or maybe what goes to the kitchen? I don't know. Where's the water valve shutoff to the entire home? It'll only take me a few minutes. I don't know. I call my wife. I text my wife. It's not because I don't need something. It's because I do desperately right now this minute. She knows I don't.
Did she answer? Of course she didn't.
No wife has ever answered her husband in a time of need. It is science. There are two things that happen when you get married. Your wife's leg in bed goes to 1,000 degrees, and you can heat entire cities. And they never answer your text or phone call when you need them.
Can confirm, yeah.
That is scientific fact. So I'm standing there. I'm like, let's check downstairs. She eventually comes back home, and he finds it, but I was embarrassed and ashamed. But we did eventually find it. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I like that.
Thanks,
one. I've
Bruce.
Got a few of them rapid fire. We're having a really good time. We're out at the Casual Pint today in Falls Church. We're not in the office. We are out and about. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I'm drinking a water. It looks like a beer can. Liquid Death.
Oh, I love
water.
Liquid Death,
still
dude.
Drinking water. It's pretty cool. Looks like a Miller Lite, but it's just water.
Yep.
Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
And I guess lastly, I would say it snowed today, and it didn't stick. Like, you got the pretty snowflakes,
yep.
The fluffy, beautiful snowflakes, but not all the crap that comes with snow when it ruins your day. Therefore, we all are.
Winning off the field.
Let's go to Rich and Olney to get it started on line one. Hello, Richard.
Morning, boys. How you doing?
How about it?
So, went to the old Starbucks this morning, got a nice hot cup of coffee because, you know, we're all adults, right, Danny? We drink coffee.
That's right.
So had an inventory meeting at work and did a bunch of things, and nobody knocked the coffee all over me. I had a full cup of coffee still. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Is that a normal issue for him?
Well, he's referencing the fact that we were riding to Philadelphia on the train.
Oh, deep cut.
And full sleeve tattooed hipster guy gets on a Baltimore, knocks his coffee over on me, and goes, "Oh, my bad." As if that was the least significant occurrence in human history.
Right.
Pretty significant. Do something about it. Show some remorse. You hipster doofus.
45 minutes of you guys just looking nose to nose across this table, and never did he acknowledge it again. Danny's like making it so, he's like, no one's ever wiped his pants more than Danny did, just waiting for an apology. And the guy just thought he had nothing to say to you.
Yeah, I just show wiped. You know what I mean? Like, I'm wiping the counter just to let him know, like, furiously wiping.
It's like
wiping
your wife does when she wants you to do something, you know, where it's just like scrubbing a counter.
Yeah, she's scrubbing
or
it while sighing. And I'm like, is there something I can help with? No! No, there's not. Okay.
Let's go to Dakota in Gainesville on Grant and Danny. How are you winning off the field?
Hey, boys.
Hey, Bob.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
We can.
Hey, so I got three kids, right? I love them to death. But tonight, I got a babysitter, and I'm taking my wife on our first date since we got married in August. So, therefore, I am
winning off the field.
Attaboy. Gotta date the wife. That's what they say. Gotta date the wife. By the way, we're winning off the field, Danny. Guinness
is
here
at
the Casual Pint, and Guinness is making people beers, so let them know if you want one of these back at the bar over there with our faces on them.
Drink my face.
Go drink my face.
Drink my face.
Right now, I'm going to post a picture at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter and Instagram. We are drinkable in the foam on top of the Guinness.
It's the sequel to There Will Be Blood. Daniel Plainview had a whole concoction where he was going to say, "I drink your face, and that's my face in a beer." I don't know how they do that. I'm assuming it's witchcraft. Either way, it's cool.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Grant and Danny Guinness, 106.7 The Fan. Let's do this thing.
It's just
Clary,
so cool.
Do you want to drink our faces? Come on. Take a sip. Let's see. How do we taste?
I mean, I would love to taste the beer here, so I'm going to taste Danny first.
Get on this side. Taste Danny. See how Danny tastes. All right, very good. He just ate your face.
Yeah,
it's just gone.
A little bit.
Danny's face is gone.
Yeah.
What did it taste like?
It didn't taste like Danny, weirdly enough. But
you know what Danny tastes like?
No.
We're getting into a weird place.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Just normally, Danny tastes a little weirder.
It was
No. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. It tasted like a beer. It tasted like a great beer, in fact. I love Guinness.
I'm a huge Guinness guy.
All right, how do I taste? Let's see how I taste. I don't think... Unlike you, where he knows what you taste like normally, I don't think that's
I'm thing. Hoping he's surprised by the taste of Grant.
Yeah.
Grant weirdly tastes a little bit better.
A little different.
His face tasted a little bit better than yours. I'm not. It's kind of a weird thing, but Grant's side did taste better.
I don't know what to say about this.
I believe that.
Let's do this thing. Jeff is in Fredericksburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
I was at the doctor's office today, and I saw this young man wearing some Cowboys gear. So I told him where the grief counselors were located at and offered to walk him up there. So therefore, I was
winning off the field.
The grief counselors.
It's a great bit.
That's a good bit. When you do the straight face thing, you know, where you're like, I can help you find people that can cope with your horrible loss right upstairs.
Let's go to Dan in Baltimore, home of the Urios, hon.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, gents, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
So, I work a lot of 24-hour shifts, and a lot of times I get woken up a lot during the night, part of the gig. But my last one, I got paid to sleep for 8 hours in a row. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
Did he say paid to sleep?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I want to do that.
Is he gone?
Yeah.
I want to do that. I think I've seen something like that with these sleep studies where every now and then you can find these where you get paid to do just stuff that is the best. It's like, come here and eat Oreos for 9 hours. You'll get $56. And I'm like,
okay,
how do I do that?
Yeah.
And can I get enough of those jobs lined up that that's just my gig to support my family?
This is the thing I always want to know is how do people find these? Like, there's one, like I remember my one buddy in when he was at UVA, it was miserable, but he made a couple grand doing it. It was called a cold study.
Yeah.
Where he had to go stay at a motel, and they were going to infect him with a cold. And, like, he had to live with the cold for
That's
a while.
That's terrible.
And it wasn't that much fun. He made $2,000.
I got a buddy. We're just going to, for lack of a better term, I'm going to say that he's cheap. He will go listen to all of the spiels to get, like, a night at a place.
Yeah.
So he'll drive 3 hours away. I don't know how. He's, like, constantly getting emails for it because they know he says yes. And so he'll go, he'll sit there for 6 hours, listen to a spiel, meet with people, do whatever he's got to do. And then on the back end, he gets like two nights at this place or something. And he's done this multiple times. You can't pay me enough. Let's go to Cindy in Springfield on Grant and Danny. What's up, Cindy?
Hi, guys. Big fan. Okay, so I find this old Whole Foods card, you know, gift card. And you know how expensive Whole Foods is. I go in there. I have no idea if there's any money on this card. Been in the drawer for who knows how long. I go in there, get a big old bag of groceries. I get to the register. The card pays for the whole bag of groceries.
Yep.
Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
There it is.
That is the way the game is played.
That's how you do it.
You get it, Cindy. Thank you for the call. And that is a good round, ladies and gentlemen, of winning off the field. We're on site today at the Casual Pint in Falls Church off Arlington Boulevard. Come on by. We're giving out some prizes as the day goes on. Talking Commanders, Cowboys, getting you ready for the weekend ahead in sports. Next, Caps tickets on the line. Somebody's going to win them. You got to be listening to the fan as soon as we return ahead of the Beltway Blitz.
Winning off the field.